Praise God. Let's turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, a couple of very familiar scriptures. Praise be to God. I'm just going to read verses 9 and 10. If you came out of the Catholic Church, this should be old hat to you. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus, your only begotten Son, Lord, who was with you from the very beginning, to become a man in this earth, Lord, that he might seek out and save those who were lost, including us, Lord. Amen. We thank you for the tremendous price he paid for our salvation, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for your love that gave him to us. Help us to honor and treasure this great gift, Father God, every day of our lives. And Father, open up your word to us, Lord, because your word is your will and shows us your way. Yes. Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear and to be doers, not just hearers. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would anoint us all here today, Lord, to speak, to hear, to exercise whatever gifts you put upon us, Lord God. And Father, that all may be done to your honor, majesty, praise, power, blessing, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
I'm going to share another scripture on the kingdom of God. That's what I'm talking about here today. And then some more later, but for right now, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, Now after that John, speaking of John the Baptist, or in from our perspective, John the Pentecostal, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Yes.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. You know, it's mentioned at least 100 times in the New Testament. And most of those by Jesus himself. We have received this kingdom. I want to read two scriptures that I shared last week in another context and just kind of went by, but I want to elaborate this week. One is from Hebrews 12, verse 28. It says, Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, that means shaken. It cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then the other one is also from Hebrews, just a few verses later, 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We are both citizens and heirs of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and which is ruled by a king who never changes in character, in will, in purpose, in bearing the truth, and in loving kindness, for God is immutable. That's a theological term meaning unchanging. I am the Lord, I change not. Praise be to God. We change, don't we, every day. Whatever mood we happen to be in, that dictates too often how our day proceeds. God is not like that. He never changes. His character is ever the same. And Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God and commissioned both his apostles and all future believers to share the same simple message. When Jesus, who is the kingdom, intersects a life, there is a choice that everyone has to make and accept the consequences of that choice. Will I repent, be converted, and obey and live according to the new order that Jesus came to establish, which is exactly what he did, or will I continue to submit my will to the kingdoms of this world, which are ever fleeting, and which can and have all been shaken to the point of crumbling over the centuries, and which aim to subvert the kingdom of God at every turn? The very first scripture I read defines the kingdom of God. The kingdom exists wherever God's will is carried out, exactly as it is in heaven. How is his will done in heaven? It's done immediately. It's done completely. It's done joyfully and wholeheartedly. It's done without murmuring, without procrastinating, without comparing our state to anyone else's, or expecting anything in return. And Jesus says that's the way it should be on earth. And that's the way it will one day be on earth, because he will rule with a rod of iron. And either we will submit voluntarily to him, people, or they will be forced to bend their knee and to admit that he is Lord of all. Why should we not respect anything in return? Because we've already received so much in return. We're guaranteed a return in this life abundantly, that we might have life and more abundantly, and an indescribably blissful life forever in heaven. Who could ask for anything more? And yet we do, don't we? There's still that nudge. I'd like to have this. Wouldn't mind living there. You know, what a great house that is. What a great this, that, or the other thing. Life more abundantly. In the kingdom of God, the king is permanent and unchanging. And the beauty of it is that while he is unchanging, yet he is still ever unfolding.
Amen.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, he is unfolding the kingdom to us day by day by day. Through his word, through his spirit, through his providence of leading and guiding us through circumstances, he is ever revealing new and more precious truths to those who have become citizens of that kingdom. He's ever expanding our horizons. He gives us new insights into life, into ourselves, but mostly into Jesus, whose depths we will never plumb throughout all eternity. We'll never still know him fully as he knows us. If I were to paraphrase, I could say Jesus, through his teachings and his ministry, could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the kingdom of God. Praise be to God. Life more abundantly, here and now, and it's experienced in two very different ways. When we're moving away from Christ Jesus, and we know when we are, when we're not as close to him as we should be or want to be, we're struck with a feeling of estrangement, aren't we? There's something out of kilter. There's something not quite right. But when we move towards him, there's always a sense of homecoming, of this is where I belong. This is where I should be. And sometimes it takes some circumstances to jar us into that realization yet again. And still we have to learn it, it seems, over and over again. This is where I belong. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And the kingdoms of this world, as the song said, are going to crumble and tumble. But the kingdom of God will last forever. Isn't it amazing how when we align our lives and our thought process and our ways with those of Jesus's and the kingdom's principles, for example, if you want to receive, give. Love your enemies. All of those things that we read in His Word, when we do them, the more freedom we experience. And yet, while we conform ourselves to the principles of this world and their version of the abundant life, we find ourselves brought into bondage over and over again. Peter, speaking of professing but worldly spiritual teachers, said, while they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. I want to totally overcome, be totally overcome of the Lord, who in turn delivers me from bondages and makes me an overcomer. You know, I was praying the other day. I always often pray, you know, Lord, make me whole in every dimension of my being, you know, physically, amen, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And He says, you left one out, vitally. He says, what is the most vital aspect of your being? It's your relationship with me and your relationship that flows from that with other people. The first of the Beatitudes says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus and the apostles use those two phrases, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, interchangeably. There's no difference. And that's both the essence and the beauty and the power of the kingdom of God. The recognition, absent any false sense of piety. Oh Lord, I'm just a humble servant. Absent any of that. The recognition that truly, without Jesus, I can do nothing. And I have nothing. And I am nothing. Without Jesus, I am nothing. I was without Jesus for 35 years of my life. And I had nothing, even though I had a lot, I thought, until I came to that recognition that I was poor in spirit, that I had need of a Savior. A lot of people don't believe they need a Savior. What do I need a Savior for? I have $1 million in the bank. I drive a fancy car. I have a palace. I live in a palace. That could all be gone overnight. Amen. In the twinkling of an eye. Whatever we put our faith in, that isn't that unshakable kingdom and that unchanging person is going to disappoint us in the end. You know, the holy angels in heaven, I'm sure, recognize that it's God who gives their existence meaning. He gives them direction. He gives them fulfillment. Or else they would have rebelled with Lucifer when the other angels rebel. But they stay there because they have everything that they need and want and could desire. And there they are singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, over and over again. That's all they can do. It's just glory in worshiping the Lord. And Peter says, even they are watching us, watching with interest how God is working out His salvation in each individual believer and in His entire creation. And one day, believe it or not, we're going to have authority over those very angels. who are so powerful and beyond us now, we can't imagine it. Shouldn't we be learning and embracing complete submission to Jesus and his kingdom here and now, while we have a chance? Praise be to God. And you know, the potential for kingdom living, I believe, is built into each and every one of us, each person. For the scripture says that all things were created not only by Jesus, but for Jesus. So that, in effect, a destiny was written into every aspect of the creation. Every aspect of the creation has a destiny that God had planned for it from the very beginning of time. And he's been shining, or attempting to shine, a lamp that would light that highway for each and every person, that highway to heaven, and say, this is the path, this is the way, walk ye in it, and you shall be blessed. The Word became flesh as a pattern for kingdom living, for living in the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 8. Let me just turn there quickly. Oh no, more Romans? Chapter 8, verse 21 says, because the creature, the creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation is groaning and travailing because it hasn't fulfilled its destiny. People are miserable because there's a destiny that God has implanted in each one of us. And until or unless we get on the right path that is leading towards that destiny, there has to be discomfort, there has to be irritation, there has to be frustration, and a sense of something is missing. And of course it is. What's missing is Jesus and the kingdom of God. We should be able to say with Peter, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, so that our creeds are reflected in our deeds. They should mirror what we've learned, both of the written word and the living word. And the kingdom of God is the ultimate reality, isn't it? That is the reality. That's why Paul says that we are pilgrims and strangers here, until such time as we are finally brought fully into the kingdom, which is our real home. And yet we are in the kingdom at the same time. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst, but it's in you as well. It's in our hearts, and we know it, that that is the way to live. Jesus gave that whole Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, beginning with, blessed are the pure, or poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right up until the end, where he says that the person who hears and does my word is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. It's not just hearing the word. A lot of people hear the word. You know, when I was a reporter, I had a book of, you know, quotes that you could use. I need a quote on something here, and look up a subject and find a quote from somebody. And sometimes there are quotes from the Bible. So I heard the word, but I wasn't a doer of the word. And that's the big difference. James, the Lord's half-brother, said the same thing. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Otherwise, it's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. You know, use that illustration before. I look in the mirror, oh, my hair is messed up. It should be combed. I don't do anything about it. I turn around and walk away. I still have messed up hair. That's what the word is. It's a mirror. And when we look in it, it tells us, this needs to be corrected. This needs to be straightened out. You need to do something about this. And if I don't do anything about it and just walk away and let it stay the same, what good does it do me? Nothing. That's like a man who builds his house on sand. And the rains come and the winds and the storms. And it's obliterated. Praise be to God. That's why God has brought every one of humankind capable of reasoning into that place of choice. Either the kingdom of God or the kingdoms of this world. Joel 3:14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Of course, in context, it's speaking about the day of the Lord when God's judicial verdict will be issued for every person who's ever walked this earth. It'll all be over. Be no more chances. The day of the Lord will come with fury and wrath, and God will pour out His judgment upon this earth, and then He'll destroy this earth, and there'll be a new earth and heavens created in righteousness. Gee, it's what, the 30th? 9 days ago, the world was supposed to end. We knew it wouldn't. If you know anything about the Word, you know it's not. No, there are things that have to happen first before the world ends. It's a long time. It's going to be at least 1,000 years before the world ends. And God creates a new heaven and a new earth. But each person has to make a decision. And God will often bring people into a valley in order to bring them to that place of decision. For Jesus or against Jesus. And today is the day of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Never know what tomorrow is going to bring, right?
Amen.
Praise be to God.
That's for sure.
I point to them because they were going to give their hearts to the Lord down the road. And I said, no, today. Today. And they gave their hearts to the Lord. You could have been dead the next day and never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Today. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And that goes for us who are believers. When we hear His voice, and it's usually through His Word. You know, I was heartened. I was reading a book. I don't know. I got so many books going at once. I forget which one it was. But this Indian man who came to the Lord, you know, and preaching by a missionary. And he said, when I read the Word, he says, I can see the power of God's Spirit underneath it, just lifting it up. And that's exactly the experience that I had when I came to the Lord. It was like the words were dancing on the page, and they were just flying off into my spirit. It was like, you know, I was thirsty. I had been in the desert, and I was just drinking the Word of God, and it was just dancing on the pages. And I said, wow, he had the same experience I did. And he lives way over there, and he was a Hindu, you know, and living in a godless society. God can do anything with anybody. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And we as believers are called into the valley of decision every day, aren't we? Am I going to take up my cross? What is taking up my cross? You know what it is? It's taking up our task. What is our task as believers in this world? We're to be salt and light. Amen? Are we willing to take up our task and perform it each and every day? Am I going to be salt today, or am I going to be sauerkraut? Am I going to be pepper that's going to make people, you know, want to jump back from it? Am I going to be light, or am I going to be just as dark and droopy as the people that I'm going to encounter out there? They're walking in darkness. I'm supposed to be a child of light. That's my task. That's taking up my cross daily. This is what I have to perform each day. I'm to be salt and light. Do I do that every day? No. I can be just as grumpy as anybody else. Saw a good movie, a clean movie for a change. Trouble with the Curve with Clint Eastwood. He was a grumpy old man. I could identify with him in some ways. But, you know, that's what we're called to be every day. Take up your cross and follow me. Can you picture Jesus, you know, having to be cheered up by one of his apostles? What's the matter, Jesus? You look down today. Oh, I'm just having a bad day, you know. Those fish just aren't biting today or whatever, you know. It's ridiculous to think of him that way, right? Yes. And we are in him. We're supposed to be in Christ. Praise be to God. Salt and light. Now, I just want to read a few scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. I read Matthew 6, 9 and 10, Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now I want to read Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Here Jesus has been baptized in the Jordan River. The Father has said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Spirit in the form of a dove alights upon him. He's been drawn by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And now he comes back in the power of the Spirit to begin his ministry. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. And those which were possessed with devils. And those which were lunatic. Like that one up in Connecticut. And so many others who had mental problems. And those that had the palsy. And he healed them.
Hallelujah.
The kingdom of God is marked by power.
Amen.
And it foreshadows that place of wholeness and fullness when the kingdom comes fully on earth as it is in heaven, where we can say in Revelation, as in Revelation 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's what we are looking forward to. That is our reward, to be in that place, 100%, fully. Today we might walk in it partially, and then, you know, retreat back into the flesh, and we're in the spirit sometimes and in the flesh other times, and back and forth. Then we're going to be fully in it with a glorified, brand new body, able to appreciate the Lord in all his fullness, and all of these promises will be ours to the nth degree. Power in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And that doesn't necessarily mean signs and wonders, although it can. Again, Sue was talking about that Johnny Erickson book. You know, she said she went to so many crusades where big-time, big-name Christians, you know, who supposedly had healing ministries, were there, and they would take all the people in wheelchairs and put them off in a corner someplace because they were the ones who really needed the healing, and they knew that they didn't have the power to heal them or anybody else. They just took the ones that, you know, had some kind of psychosomatic thing or some emotional thing or whatever. And, "Oh, yeah, I'm healed. And the next day, you know, Sunday I'm healed, Monday I'm back in the pit someplace. But that power can be the power of sharing the Word of God and seeing it start to take root in a person's life and planting that seed and just knowing that not only have you planted a seed, but then you can water it by praying for that person on a regular basis, and that seed is going to grow and grow. Just like in Mark 4, the parable of, you know, where the farmer plants a seed, it starts to grow, comes up, first the corn, then the full corn in the ear, and he knows not how, it just happens, and then boom, one day the harvest comes, and you put in the sickle. It's the same way. You know, who planted seeds in our lives along the way? And then prayed them, watered them with prayer, and one day, boom, the harvest came. And they didn't know how it happened. God does. We didn't know how it happened, but it did. Praise be to God. That's power too. Matthew 12, 28. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you," Jesus said. They accuse him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. The devil is the god of this world. And so the light of the kingdom of God can and will dispel the powers of darkness. Amen. For us as well as for Jesus, if we do it in His name.
Amen.
And He's given us the shield of faith, which is able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, that was the last discussion that Jack and I had before he went home to be with the Lord about the word. He was convinced that it wasn't what I thought it was. And we went back and forth with it, and we both saw each other's point of view. But it can be the aspect of the violence that has come as a result of the kingdom of God entering into people's lives, leading right up to the crucifixion of Jesus. And all the martyrs that have given their lives for the gospel since then, that's one form. But the way that I looked at it was a pressing in with all of your heart and strength. Once you understand what's at stake and what the kingdom of God is, it's pressing in and taking it by force and saying, like Jacob, Lord, I won't let thee go except thou bless me. I want more of you. I want fully in that kingdom. I want everything that you have for me. And there's a violence to that. There's a force to that. That was my take on it. And Jack had a different take, and we went back and forth. And praise be to God. But look at Luke. I believe Scripture confirms Scripture, and I'm not trying to, you know, prove I'm right or anybody else is wrong. But Luke 16, Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And that word press means to force. Force your way into it. So, I believe that that's what he's saying here. That once you understand, once you get even an inkling of the kingdom of God, you can't help but want fully in. I want. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until I get it. Just like Jacob. Praise be to God. Matthew 6:33. Craig's favorite scripture. He's not here to hear it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God is marked by divine provision and providence, so that we don't have to fret. We can pray in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Everything in the kingdom is by faith. And as we seek the King with all of our heart, we will experience the blessings of the kingdom of God. I'm almost done. And if anybody has to leave, go ahead. But I want to get through this. I see 2013 as the year of, you know, encompassing all those things that you said, the kingdom of God, experiencing and living the kingdom of God as it's expressed in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. As kingdom citizens, we can declare by observing the visible fruit of a person's life, you are saved. Your sins have been forgiven. I can't forgive sins. No priest in a little booth can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. But I can declare that if you sincerely in your heart have accepted the Lord and you've been born again, that you are declared not guilty in the eyes of God. And I can know that it's affirmed in heaven. Mark 9:1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. I was talking about the transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John saw the Lord transfigured. They saw Him in His glory. And they actually saw Moses and Elijah there talking with him about his pending death on the cross. That's something that we have to look forward to see the Lord in His glory. Praise be to God. Luke 22:28. Ye are they which have continued with me, Jesus said, in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You know what's interesting here is Jesus said this before the apostles experienced any kind of persecution or anything else. They were just with him as he went through his persecutions and the religious Jews coming against him. And even at that point, he says, I'm going to allow you to eat and drink in my kingdom. I'm going to allow you to have communion with me and fellowship with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in and sup with them, and they with me. We can have communion and fellowship with the Lord anytime, anywhere. We can eat and drink at His table. Praise be to God. And there's only one way into that kingdom, isn't there? John 3:3, Jesus answered Nicodemus, religious leader, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's the only entryway in. The new birth brought about by the Spirit of God. Just couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That's a companion scripture. Can't get in there any other way. Any other way. But by being born again of the Spirit of God. I was reading a book by John Hagee recently, and he was intimating there that the Jews could be saved because they've kept the law. Nuh-uh. It's not what the scriptures say, is it? There's only one way in.
That's right.
You know, he was quoting that scripture, and then all Israel shall be saved. No, they won't. No, they won't. No, they won't. You have to be born again. Jesus was talking to a religious leader, a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, when he said those words. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. Both in our midst, we gather together here in the name of Jesus, two or three gathered together, and in our hearts. This is where the kingdom really resides. And it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks and that our lives flow outwards. So what's the abundance in there? Are we sowing to the kingdom, and are we releasing kingdom principles into other people's lives, or are we still walking in the flesh? Acts 8:12, Philip. But when they believed Philip, remember he was serving tables. And, you know, you can start anywhere, doing anything. God used him, sent him up to Samaria, and became a great evangelist. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. This shows that the kingdom is to be preached, and signs will follow. Things will follow when we preach the kingdom of God. And finally, one last scripture, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If we have those things, we know we're walking in the kingdom. We're living out those kingdom principles. And I just want to close with this. We have the kingdom. We have an unshakable kingdom and a person, a king, who never, ever changes.
Amen.
Praise be to God. But we're still on this earth. And even though Jesus prayed that prayer, it hasn't come to pass yet, has it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until it is, we have to continue by faith, day by day, living out those kingdom principles. And I'll close with one more scripture, Psalm 105:19, speaking of Joseph and all his trials and tribulations. And it says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. until it was fully fulfilled in his life, until he reached his full destiny, the word of the Lord tested him. Are you going to be true to the word in this circumstance? You're going to be true to the word today. You're going to be true to the word tomorrow. Today's Sunday. Easier to be true to the word. Monday, am I going to be true to the word? When that person comes at me and starts giving me a lot of grief, am I going to bless them or am I going to curse them? How am I going to react when the rubber meets the road? Until it comes fully to pass, the word of God is going to test us every single day. Are we going to conform to it or are we going to rebel against it? Are we going to embrace it or are we going to reject it and just follow the kingdoms of this world the way they do it? We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the experience that brought us in as citizens of your kingdom. And we thank you that we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Help us, Lord, to walk day by day, allowing your word to test us and to prove us, Lord God, to be true citizens of the kingdom, living it out each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Thank you.